Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We are at the very bottom of Daf Chaf Vav Amud Bet. That's 26b, just the last two lines at the beginning of the second to bottom line. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. Okay, what we've been talking about is the holiness, the Kedusha of Sifrei Torah, and that's what we're going to continue to talk about, but we're going to back into it here by having a conversation about what has a higher degree of holiness, a Beit Knesset, a place where you daven, or a Beit Midrash, a place where you learn Torah. And the assumption here is that you're not doing both. I mean, in other words, in the synagogue you pray, and in the Beit Midrash you learn, you don't also do the other thing in those places, because then it might be a little more complicated. So two lines up from the bottom. It's in parentheses because it is meant to, the first word, because it should have the vav taken out of it. It should be Amar Rav Papi, Mishme Derav, and the Marsha changes that Mishme to Mishme Derava. So we have the opinion of Rav Papi in the name of Rava. Mibe Kenishta Lebe Rabbanan. So Mibe means from the house of, Kenishta means prayer. So Be Kenishta is a synagogue. Lebe Rabbanan, to the house of the rabbis, which is the house of study, that's a Beit Midrash. Share. So you may go from a synagogue to a Beit Midrash. Share means permitted. Mibe Rabbanan, from a Beit Midrash, Lebe Kenishta, to a shul, asur, you can't. And the reason for that is that a Beit Midrash is on a higher level of holiness. So as we've discussed in this chapter, you can only go up in holiness. So you can go up from the holiness of a synagogue to a Beit Midrash, but not in the reverse. V'Rav Papa Mishmei D'Rava, Rav Papa in the name of Rava, Matnei Ipcha. He learns it the opposite, that you can go from a Beit Midrash to a shul, but not from a shul to a Beit Midrash. So there seems to be a machloket as to the relative sanctity of a Beit Midrash and a shul. It is interesting that we have both of these in the name of Rava, one in the name of Rav Papi and one in the name of Rav Papa. So perhaps there's some transmission here issue here, both as far as the names and about which goes in the right order. We'll see that the general flow of the Gemara is going to suggest, and the Halacha is going to suggest, that Beit Midrash is on a higher level than a Beit Knesset. Last three words on the daf. Amar Rav Acha. Rav Acha said, Kavase de Rav Papi Mistabra. According to Rav Papi, makes more sense. In other words, that the Beit Midrash is on a higher level. The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Beit HaKnesset Mutar La'asoto Beit HaMidrash. We have a separate teaching in the name of Ribal, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that you can make a Beit HaKnesset into a Beit Midrash. And here we have the words that are more familiar to us. Beit HaKnesset is a familiar word for Shul. Beit Midrash is a familiar word to us. The earlier version of that was Beit Kenishta and Beit Rabbanan. And the Gemara says, end of the second line, Shema Mina, this is a good proof. So the Gemara seems to imply that the conclusion here is that a Beit Midrash is on a higher level, that you can turn a shul into a Beit Midrash, but not the reverse. Darash Bar Kapara, we're going to try to prove this. Darash Bar Kapara, Bar Kapara darshant, he elucidated the verses. Mai dichtiv, what is written, and this is in Melachim Bet, chapter 25, it's the very end of the second book of Kings, and it's discussing, actually, Tisha B'Av, it's discussing the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash when Nevuzradan Sar HaTabachim, Nebuchadnezzar's chief general and butcher, came to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. This is what the verse says. Vayisrof et Beit Hashem, he burned the house of God. And the Gemara is going to explain what each of these are, but Beit Hashem is the temple, V'et Beit HaMelech, and the palace of the king, V'et Kol Batei Yerushalayim, and all the houses of Jerusalem, V'et Kol Beit Gadol, and every large house, Saraf Be'esh, were burned in fire. So the Gemara is going to explain what each of these items are. Beit Hashem, Zei Beit HaMikdash, as we said, Beit HaMelech, Elu Paltron Shel Melech, the house of the king is not the place where he lived, but the palace of the king, V'kol batei Yerushalayim, and all the houses of Jerusalem, kimashma'an, as it, you know, as it implies, all the places, all the houses of the citizens, v'kol beit gadol, and the large, all the large houses were burned in fire. So what are these beit gadol, houses that are of that are gadol? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. There's a dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Rival. Chad Amar, one says, Makom shemegadlin bo Torah. A Beit Gadol is a place where they make the Torah great. That's what it means, Beit Gadol. They are magdil the Torah. V'char amar makom shemegadlin bo tefila, and one is where they amplify prayer. So that's the question: is a Beit Gadol a Beit Midrash or a Beit Knesset? Manda amar Torah, the one who says that it is a Beit Midrash, that it's about Torah, dichtiv Hashem chafetz laman sidko yagdil Torah v'yadir. And this is the pasuk that we always say right before we say Kaddish. We say that Hashem benefited the Jewish people by giving them Torah and mitzvot. So we say this pasuk, this is the proof text, and then we say Kaddish Darabanan. And here it says, Yagdil Torah. So the Torah is related to the word Gadol, so a Beit Gadol would be a place where you amplify Torah. Umanda Amar Tefillah, middle of the first medium-wide line. The one who says that it's about prayer, Dichtiv, as it says, and he's going to quote a verse here also from Malachim Bet, but earlier, chapter 8. Sapra Nali, it doesn't quote the whole verse, it skips a few of the words, but I'll quote it to you in full. Sapra nali, tell me et kol hagdolot asher asa Elisha. Tell me all the great things that Elisha the prophet had done. And if you look there in the verse, you'll see that the miracles that Elisha did were that he brought this boy, the son of the Shunammite woman, who died. He had a sudden like aneurysm in his brain, and he died. And Elisha came and brought the boy back to life. That's the story. So the Gemara says, "VeElisha de'avad berachame hu de'avad." What Elisha did, the great thing that he did by asking for mercy, berachamim, and rachamim is a way of referring to prayer. In other words, what Elisha did, he's not Superman, but what he did is he davened Hashem to bring this boy back to life, and it was a miracle that Hashem listened to his prayer and brought the boy back. So here we have an idea of gedula, of greatness related to prayer. Prayer happens in a Beit HaKnesset. There is a little bit of a problem with this, and Elisha's prayer was not done in a shul. It was done in a private room, in a private house. So it wasn't done in a shul, but it is related to prayer, so perhaps a place where prayer is the primary thing, or they do, could be considered something that is gadol, because he said, Sapruna li et kol hagdolot, what are the great things that Elisha did? And the great thing Elisha did was that he davened. Tistayim, let us conclude, de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, hu de amar makom shemegadlin Torah, that it was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi who is the one in this dispute who said that the Beit Gadol is the one where they learn Torah. It's the Beit Midrash. De amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, as we saw above on the first and second lines of this daf, Beit HaKnesset mutar lasoto Beit Midrash, that you can turn a shul into a Beit Midrash. In other words, the Beit HaMidrash has the higher level of sanctity. Shema mina, learn from this. So the conclusion of the Gemara is that the Beit Midrash has higher level of sanctity. Now we go back to the Mishnah. As we see in between the two diamond dots on the fourth wide line is a quotation from the Mishnah. That in the Mishnah it says that you can use the proceeds of a sale of a holy object in order to buy an object that has a higher level of holiness, but not to buy something of lower level of holiness. Aval machru Torah, if they sold a Torah, which is on the highest level of sanctity, lo yikchu svarim, then you cannot buy other scrolls that are not the whole Torah in the scroll. Okay? So what we're going to ask is the important question, which is, can you buy something that's on the same level of holiness? Ibayaluhu. I will ask them, the people in the Beit Midrash. Mahu limkor sefer Torah yashan likach bo chadash. What is the law about selling an old sefer Torah in order to buy a new sefer Torah? So let's look at it in two ways. Kevan delo ma'alele, since you have not gone up in sanctity, the sefer Torah are on the same level of holiness, Asur, so perhaps it's forbidden, because the rule is you can only use the money for something that's on a higher level of holiness. O Dilma, or maybe, Kevan Deleka Leiluye Iluya Achrina, since one cannot go up to another level, in other words, there's nothing that's on a higher level of Kedusha than a Sefer Torah, Shapir Dami, then it's okay. So it's not exactly answering the question of can you go the same level of holiness, but what he's just saying is that since this is the highest you can go, it's impossible to go up any higher. Perhaps you can use the proceeds of a Sefer Torah to buy something that's of the same level of holiness, in other words, another Sefer Torah. So we're going to try to prove this one way or the other. Tashma, come and learn. Aval, we're quoting from the Mishnah, but machru Torah, if they sold a Torah, loikhu svarim, then you cannot buy individual scrolls. Svarim, if you have individual scrolls that you sell, hu, Sfarim hu delo ha delo. It is other individual scrolls that you cannot buy. Ha Torah b'Torah shapir. But I could imply that if you're not allowed to buy individual scrolls, but you could buy a Torah. Shapir means it is appropriate. Shapir dame. Okay. So the Gemara answers. So you could imply, maybe the Mishnah is implying that you cannot buy with this, the proceeds of a Torah individual scrolls, but you could buy another Torah. Matnitin, answers the Gemara, our Mishnah, di'avad, that is only in a b'di'avad situation. It wants to know if you sold a Torah, then what do you do? Kika mi bayalan, but our question is lichatchila, is what should you do ab initio? What's the right way to act? Not once you've already sold it. So this doesn't answer our question. Tashma, so come and listen, we'll try another case. Golilin sefer Torah b'mit b'chot chumshin. You may roll a sefer Torah using the fabric, the scarves, that are used to wrap up individual scrolls. So the scarves that are used to wrap up the individual scrolls are on a lower level of holiness. So you can raise those scarves up to use them for a Torah because you're bringing them up to a higher level of holiness. V'chumshin b'mitpachot neviim uktuvim, and you can use the wrappings for Nach in order to wrap individual Torah scrolls, because that's also a higher level of holiness. Avalo neviim uktuvim b'mitpachot chumshin, but you cannot use the mitpachot, the scarves or fabrics that are used to wrap individual Torah scrolls for neviim and ketuvim, for prophets and writings. Velo chumshin, and you cannot use to roll individual Torah scrolls, but mitpachot sefer Torah, with the wrappings that are used for a sefer Torah, because in that case, you're taking them down a level of holiness. Katani mihat, the Mishnah teaches, however, Golilim Sefer Torah b'mipachot chumshin, that you can roll a Sefer Torah using the wrappings of an individual book of the Torah. Mipachot chumshin in, yes, you can use a wrapping for a chumash, an individual scroll. Mipachot Sefer Torah, lo. But since it implied that you can only use that of a chumash, meaning you're going from the level of chumash, lower level of holiness, to the higher level of a Sefer Torah, that would work, but Sefer Torah, which is on the same level, no. Perhaps the implication is that you cannot go from Torah to Torah, you can only go up. But the Gemara is not, so now we had an implication that seemed to imply that you could go equally, and now we have an implication that you can't. So the Gemara is going to answer this by saying, well, look at the end of the Mishnah, Ema Seifa. I would say, look at the end of the Mishnah. V'lo chumshin b'mitpachot sefer Torah. You cannot use the wrappings of a sefer Torah to roll a chumash. Ha Torah b'Torah, shapir dami. That's what shindalin means, shapir dami. But perhaps from Torah to Torah, you can. So what's the implication? Depending on which part of the Mishnah you look at, you can imply one way or the other way. So the Gemara understands this and says, elameha leka lemishma mina. From this Mishnah, where one part of it implies one way and one part of it implies the other way, there is no way to learn from it what the din is. So at this point, we have tried twice to make an argument about whether or not you can sell an old Sefer Torah in order to buy a new Sefer Torah. The first one we tried to say that you could do it because you can't, because it seemed to imply that it's only a problem if you go down a level of holiness, but to stay on the same level is okay. And the second argument we tried to make in the other way, which is it implied that as long as it's only problematic to go down from the level of holiness, but perhaps to stay on the same level it would be fine. And neither one of them was a clear or present proof. So we're going to try again, but we're going to wait and do that in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.